I would like to say briefly about the background of this letter. We know that several references in this passage, in this first epistle, points to the fact that Peter is writing this letter to a mixed audience of people who got saved from Jewish religion and the people who got saved from Gentiles. And Peter is providing some advices to the Gentile Christians, the God's elect people, who are undergoing through great persecution. And it is written between 62 AD and 63 AD. And most of the scholars believe that Peter probably was martyred along with Paul during the persecution of Nero, the emperor of Rome, in AD 64 or 65 time. It is written to the persecuted Christians living in five regions of Asia Minor. Here he says, writing this to the strangers scattered throughout Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia, asking the Christians to emulate the suffering of Christ. Because of the persecutions in Judea, they fled to all these five regions and living as refugees. You know, all of a sudden, when you are driven out of your home, when you will have to go to a new place and settle, you have lost your home, you have lost your property, you have to leave all your beloved ones, your relatives and friends who are close to you. You lost your job. When you go to a new place, you'll have to find all this. It's not easy. So many of these Christians who were persecuted and who fled from their own native places, when they are living in this scattered area, they did not even know where the next meal will come from. When the children cry to their parents, they have no answer to say. And to those Christians, Peter is asking them to emulate the suffering of Christ, asking them to remember the sufferings of Christ in their distress, remembering that the passion and the death of Jesus Christ, after that he rose from the dead and he is living in the glory for us. So he was encouraging them. That is why he was writing this letter. You know, the first letter of Peter has a divinely inspired message for every Christian of every time, of every place, I believe. So this letter has a specific message for you and for me and all the members of Pleasant View Baptist Church. Apostle Peter was the writer of this letter and is known as a letter of hope, just like John's letter is known as a letter of love and James' letter is known as a letter of faith. So if you study this epistle, you will become grounded in the great doctrines of faith and gain new assurance of the spiritual realities in life. So I would like to expand these two verses this morning. This letter, when he writes, first of all, he starts by giving his name, Peter. He perhaps is the best loved of all the disciples. He lived in Bethsaida and Capernaum. We read about them in the scripture. And also he was a fisherman, we all know. And he was married, we know. He traveled with his wife to several places to minister. And he was brought to Jesus Christ by his brother Andrew, we know that. By temperament, we know that he was very impulsive and affectionate. He made some great confessions about Jesus Christ. Matthew chapter 16 and verse 16, we know, he said, "The word Christ, the Son of the living God." And God said, "It is God Almighty and the power of the Spirit of God that revealed this truth to you, Peter." And he made that confession. And also, when we read John's Gospel chapter 6 and 68, Simon Peter makes another confession. And he answered and said, "Lord, to where shall we go? Whom shall we go? Because thou hast the words of eternal life. Lord, you are the one, only one, where I can get the words of eternal life. Where can we go apart from going to you, coming to you?" That is another confession that he made. But of course, he grieved Jesus Christ when he denied him. But thank God that he was restored. And he was recommissioned again. He was empowered on the day of Pentecost. On that one day he stood up and preached. And over 3,000 people got saved and were baptized and added to that church. Dear brothers and sisters, Peter starts his letter naming that Peter, that the word Peter. An apostle, then he says, Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ. An apostle means a sent one. One who is sent by the Lord Jesus Christ himself. That means he is making sure that he is not self-appointed as an apostle. There are so many people these days come. They are self-appointed. They are not sent by a church. They are not called by Jesus Christ to be an apostle or to a preacher. And he is an ambassador of Jesus Christ. That means Peter was always conscious and always was reminded that I am representing Jesus Christ and I am ambassador of Jesus Christ. He was very clear that he is representing heaven in this earth and I am an ambassador of heaven. Peter gives a description of the, then he gives a description of the people to whom it is written. As I said in the beginning, it is written to those scattered Christians on the five regions of Asia Minor. And also, even today, as I said, it has a message of all, for all the Christians of all the time. No matter which part of the world they live in, this message is for them. This message is for me. So, he gives a description of the people to whom it is written. I would like to take seven words that are mentioned in these two verses. Look at those verses. If you want to underline, you underline and study those seven words. Number one, you know, I have messed up that in order a little bit. You see the word elect there, foreknowledge, blood, sanctification, obedience, strangers, and scattered. These are the seven words that Paul uses to describe the people to whom this letter is written. Now let me ask you a question. As believers, when and where did the work of grace begin? Let me give you the answer. In that passage of the scripture, verse 2, when we read, we understand that the work of grace began in the heart of God Himself. Back in eternity, for the salvation of a sinner, the salvation of a sinner is the sovereign act of God Himself. So dear brothers and sisters, is it not a wonderful privilege to remember and to be reminded this morning that act of grace in your life started in the heart of God even before the eternity, in the eternity past. Look at that first verse, elect. Way back in eternity, before the time of creation, we were elected and chosen by great God. What a privilege to know that. Verse 2 tells us that, although we cannot understand and explain it very well, I cannot understand it, why God chose me out of 1.4 billion people of India. I can't understand, I can't explain, but I believe it because by faith that God has given me. And also, the word elect, what does that mean? That means to pick out. That means to select. God has picked us out. And God has selected us to be His own. Thank God that Lord, the creator of the whole universe, picked me out of the billions of people in this world to be His own. What a comforting message is that. And Ephesians chapter 1 verse 4 to 6. Ephesians chapter 1 verse 4 to 6. There also it says, according as He hath chosen us in Him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before Him in love, having predestined us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to Himself, according to the good pleasure of His will, to the praise of the glory of His grace, wherein He hath made us accepted in beloved. And also, John's Gospel chapter 6, John's chapter 6 and verse 37 to 39. John 6, 37 to 39. All that the Father hath given me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me I will nowise cast out. For I came down from heaven not to do my own will, but the will of Him that sent me. And this is the Father's will which hath sent me, that of all which He hath given me, I should lose nothing, but should raise it up again in the last day. Dear brothers and sisters, what a blessing and comfort it brings to our heart to praise Him this morning and to worship Him, and to say how great You are, that He has elected us and picked us up and selected us for His glory. The second word that I would like to show you from this passage, you know, in verse 2, is foreknowledge. We were elect and chosen according to the foreknowledge of God the Father. Verse 2, God the Father is the author of the plan of salvation. Even before the creation of the world, the triune Godhead had decided, even before the creation of man, He decided that Jesus Christ will go down to give His life as a ransom for many. God the Father is the author and the plan of salvation. Foreknowledge is not merely an idea of having previous knowledge, but includes the idea of a choice. Acts chapter 2 and verse 23, we read like this. Acts 2 and 23. Him being delivered by the determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God. Knowing all about me, knowing all about my sins, knowing all about my failures, knowing all about my weakness, the Lord chose me. You know, just think about me before I was born. If somebody come and tell my father, my father's name was Samuel. Samuel, you are going to have a son. But you know, if he tells me all the things that it had gone through my mind, and all the things that I would ever commit in my life, all the bad words that I say to my dad, what would he think? He would say, no, I don't want a son like that. Right? Because nobody in the world knows what I had thought in my life. Nobody knows the sins that I have committed, the wretchedness that I had. But you know, God in his foreknowledge, he knew all my sins, all my failures, all my weakness, all my thoughts, and yet he chose me. That is the greatness of his love. That is the greatness, and he made me his son. In eternity past, we were chosen by God the Father, who put my name in the book of life. And this morning when brother was praying, he said, even before the creation, can you imagine that your name was written in the book of life, in the book of the Lamb? What a comfort, what a great joy it brings to our life. Our hearts should be filled with gratefulness and the love and praise for our Lord Jesus, who has done all these things for us. The word number 3 that describes about the persons to whom it is written, I think it is blood. The Son of God, the Lord Jesus Christ, shed his precious blood to redeem us and to make us his own. You know, our salvation was planned by Almighty God in eternity, but it was purchased at Calvary 2000 years ago by his Son. Verse 2. That's what verse 2 says. Notice the sequence. It is like a pilgrim's progress. Election, foreknowledge, and redemption. In the fullness of time, God the Father sent his Son. In the fullness of time, Jesus Christ came. And by his death and his atoning sacrifice, he brought back us into the fellowship with God. Word number 4, the fourth word that we see here is sanctifying. God the Holy Spirit performed the work of sanctifying in my life. God the Father planned it. God Jesus Christ purchased it 2000 years ago by shedding his precious blood on the cross of Calvary. Then Holy Spirit sanctified us, setting us apart from the rest of mankind to be the recipient of his grace. The Holy Spirit has sought us. Holy Spirit has identified us and set us apart for the Lord's many things that you don't understand. I was born and raised in a farmer's family. My dad was a farmer and his parents also were farmers. My dad's family, they were 9 people, you know, 9 children. 7 brothers and 2 girls. My grandpa died when my father was too small. But they all the brothers stood together, did farming, and they made themselves up. And when the eldest brother of my father, when he married and he got a son, you know, before he reached the age of 1 year old, that baby had some kind of a problem. And in those days, you know, it was over 100 years now, maybe. And nobody, you know, we didn't have any good hospitals there. There is only one dispensary. Like, they took him there and they could not even diagnose what the problem was. The baby died. My father's second brother married. He got a son and he died. Third one got married, got a son. He died before reaching 1 year. Fourth, fifth, sixth, seventh. All died. Everybody's firstborn was died. And eighth was my father. After marriage, I was born. I had the same disease. Nobody knows what it was. I started crying when I was 1 year old. They took me to the doctor and they did not know what to do. Then some of the neighbors suggested take me to a witch doctor, you know, who would do some mantras. But my dad and my mom said, even if he dies, we are not going to do that. Then they heard about 20, 25 miles away, there was a revival in an open tent meeting. And my father and my mother, they decided to carry me and go there. They had no bus, no car, nothing. They carried me on their hand and walked that 20, 25 miles. Reached there, handed me over to the preacher. They called all the people. They prayed and they surrendered me for God's service. You know what? It's a miracle that I never had that problem again. Out of the 9 brothers of my parents, my father, I am the first one who is alive among the firstborn. Dear brothers and sisters, even before that, even before I realized it, God had a plan. He set me apart for his ministry. Sanctifying is an act of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit has sought us and identified us and set us apart for the Lord's, to be the Lord's possession. This is what the Holy Spirit is doing today. He is seeking, setting apart those whom the Father has chosen, that they might be washed in the blood of Jesus Christ and be saved. It is because the Holy Spirit worked in our heart and we became interested in spiritual matters. Otherwise, you and I would not have been shown any interest in the spiritual matters. And it is because the Holy Spirit worked in our heart that we accepted Christ as our Savior. If there is a soul here today who has not accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, if you don't have the assurance of salvation, dear brother or sister, whoever it may be, may I tell you that God the Father and God Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit is speaking to you this morning. And he wants to set you apart. And he wants to show his favor, his grace upon you, that you may go out of this church as a new person in Christ Jesus. The fifth word that we see in this passage of the scripture is obedience. We are given the gift of faith, the power to believe and to render obedience unto the truth. Look at that verse again, unto obedience. The work of the Holy Spirit was not only to set us apart, but to give us the gift of faith. Romans chapter 10 and verse 17 says, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Christians have been saved for obedience, or we have been saved unto obedience. That is what Peter is saying. That means we are to obey the Lord. We are to hear the gospel. We have to trust him. Trust him as our Savior. That is what the Lord expects from every one of us. Would you do that today? The sixth word that we see in this passage, to whom it was written, having it is written to the strangers, that means to the pilgrims. Having saved us, we are now strangers in this world. Verse 1. When Peter speaks about strangers and scattered, they were scattered pilgrim. That means, in other words, we are not to settle here, for this earth is not our home. We are exiles here in this world. We are citizens of heaven. That is where we are going to head to. So we are strangers here because we are citizens of another country, heaven. Number 7, seventh word is we have been scattered abroad, it says in verse 1. Scattered. Scattered abroad to different places to be God's witnesses unto all nations of the world. Just like those Jews were scattered, we are scattered that we might be witnesses unto all the nations of the world. Today he has placed you in the place where you are, in your home, in your office, in your workplace, in your school, in your country, you ought to be witnesses for Jesus Christ. Amen. Acts chapter 1 and verse 8, ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and all Judea and in Samaria and unto the utmost part of the world. When we understand this truth, our hearts are moved. Let us be witnesses for him. Let us do everything to spread the good news. What God, the triune God, has accomplished for us. Hudson Taylor, one of the greatest missionaries, have said like this, I quote, Great Commission is not an option to be considered, but it is a commandment to be obeyed. Dear brothers and sisters, Great Commission is not an option to be considered, but it is a commandment to be obeyed. Are you a witness for the Lord Jesus Christ in the place where the Lord has placed you? Do you understand the responsibility? Do you understand the description that Peter makes by seven words? To whom it is written? To you it is written. To me it is written. May the Lord help us to understand that. And from the bottom of our heart, with a grateful heart, let us say, thank you, Lord, for all that you have done for me. And worship him and adore him. And also take a decision to be a witness in the place where the Lord has placed you. May the Lord speak to us through his word.